everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about Han Ming Sung getting his first start, but he's looking great. Everyone's having a good time, except for the people in the comments who watched our last video. Christian will never wear a yellow shirt again. Plus, we also talk about Matt Turner. We're moving back to MLS. Should Gio Reyna do the same thing?
And Premier League is back. We talk about the first weekend and we give our Premier League overreactions. Manchester United fans should still be worried. And we celebrate 10 years of the Cooligans. We get a bunch of messages from a lot of lovely folks that you love and adore. So let's celebrate 10 years of the Cooligans today on the Cooligans.
Hey, look who's back. It's me.
Welcome back.
Stefano did a great job, though.
He did.
Yeah, shouts to him. Shouts to Stefano.
We called in the, you know, right-handed Cuban.
There we go.
He said we need another Cuban.
Bring in the other. the Boca Juniors Cuban fan who also supports Liverpool and lives near you. It's odd.
Sure.
He supports a team from the Liverpool area. He lives near you. He's like, you and I merged into one.
Our kids are in the same daycare.
Damn. Speaking of kids, actually, so I was away on vacation.
You saw the family you left behind years ago?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know these people. And it's just there's a little fat kid, Art, complaining about pizza in Italy. I'd be like, ah, damn, I can't beat these allegations. Now, so we're staying in this beautiful... it's not a resort, but it's like a hotel that has like a famous restaurant in it. And we're in the countryside, right?
Okay.
Of Italy. So it's beautiful. This is all my wife wanted.
What city? Italy is very big.
Well, it's near Volterra. It's in the Tuscany area.
Got it. Okay.
This is all my wife wanted, was this experience.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, bees everywhere. This isn't what I wanted at all.
Yeah. Why countryside and Alexis? I'm like, this isn't his domain.
This is not for me. You know what I mean? First of all, did you know that vineyards, they need bees? Then why am I anywhere near a vineyard? Right.
They need someone to work the field.
Yeah, bro.
For people who may not be aware, Alexis is deathly afraid of bees.
I am so uncomfortable around bees, it's not even funny. And even Italians are just like, there are bees.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know what I mean? I want to be in the room, lock the doors. My wife is aware. We opened the trunk of the rental car to put the luggage in. And you know that plastic piece that is on the inside of the trunk of like the big hatch?
Yeah.
Like imagine you lift a hatch on a like SUV. Mm-hmm. You know that plastic piece that you grab to pull down? The bee went in that thing. I said, well, I'm not driving this car. I said, I can't be because the bee is going to pop out.
Right. But yeah,
while I'm driving.
The bee better drive the car.
You know what? This is the bee's car now. Did the bee put down his or her credit card?
Is this a Volkswagen bee?
All right, come on.
Okay, here we go.
So anyway, here's the point. We schedule a pasta making class. Right, it's a Michelin star restaurant, right? So we schedule a pasta making class, a private one for me and D, and then there's an instructor. The instructor is sick that week, so they said, "Hey, we can do it with the chef, the first Italian chef to get a Michelin star in London. He owned a London restaurant. He was acquired by this hotel, right? He was transfer market, right?
Okay,
he got transferred.
Fabrizio, he talked about it.
Galatasaray wanted him, but he said, here we go. We're going to Tuscany. Right. So they said, he'll do it, which that's what you want. You want that instructor to do it, right? Mm-hmm. You want a Michelin star chef. He also has a green star. I don't know if you know what that is. That's when
Why do you keep saying Michelin?
It's Michelin.
I feel like most people just say
the list is based in
Michelin.
Europe. Yeah. But it's even though it is an American company, it's a Michelin star.
Okay. Just you
if
know,
you're getting tires.
Some people are hearing it, they're like, what?
Don't say I'm getting Michelin tires. You say I'm getting Michelin.
Okay. But anyway. Get Continental Tires sponsored by Major League Soccer.
That's right. Pay us.
Those are the only restaurants I go to.
In fact, I only go to restaurants you recommend.
Okay.
I'm going wherever Kumho tells me to go. Kumho. So anyway. Long story short, they said, look, the Michelin star chef will do it, but we can't do two or three because he's obviously a very busy man.
Yeah.
So there's a group of four that's a family, and two of you, will you do it together? I said, absolutely. The family of four are very rich, very bougie, very white. They say San Francisco, and I was like, I'm not smelling San Francisco. I'm smelling Napa Valley on you guys. Turns out I was 100% right. Anyway, you make all this food. You make raviolis. You make tortellini. You make peachy, which is a special pasta they have. That's like a very thick spaghetti noodle. You make all this, and then you sit down, and they serve you a little bit of everyone's food. So, like, they cook all the raviolis together. So, if you were great at it and I sucked, we're getting one-on-one. You don't know. Once you get them, we're eating ravioli, right? So, we do all that. So, we all sit down as, like, a big family to eat, right? And it was all women and one dude on that side of the family. It was three women. It was the grandmother, the father, the wife, and the sister-in-law, right? We're talking about a baby. Mm-hmm. They left the baby with the grandfather. And then the grandmother says, you know what? He's not very good at putting the baby down.
Right. Most people know what that means.
I do not. So I said, what? And she goes, oh, he's not very good at putting the baby down. I'm like, what did the baby do?
Right.
Because, and then my wife sees this and she's like, wait a minute. You're probably thinking
I have an idiot for a husband.
Yeah. You probably don't know what that means. I go, the only time I've ever heard that is with dogs.
Dogs, yes. Yeah.
And that is not a positive.
It doesn't apply to babies. Like, yeah, most people.
If you're good at putting down dogs, I'd be like, what are you, Michael Vick? What are you doing?
Right.
So putting the baby down. I had never heard that before, and I'm thinking these guys are having... Obviously, I know they're not talking about murdering a baby, but...
I mean, you don't know, I guess.
Callousness.
Your curiosity.
You know what? Really, it's ruining the vacation. So Grandpa's going to take care of it in the vineyard.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean...
We got to come up with a different name for that. How about putting the baby to sleep? Which could also mean you're choking the baby out. You know what I mean? Maybe you got a good grip on the baby's jugular.
There's no great way to put it, but usually decent human beings don't assume the worst. You know what I mean?
But
that's kind of how society has agreed that we're like, hey, we don't mean that, do we?
First of all, I disagree because you don't know these people. You don't know what they're getting into.
Sure.
We are in the middle of the country. Anything can happen out here. No one can hear you scream. I see no police officers. While I was out here.
Gotcha.
We're here to police ourselves, and maybe that was my moment to be a hero, Christian.
Interesting. Well, you could have saved the day, and now...
Can I tell you the other thing I did real quick? Yeah, I do this thing where I take my underwear off, right? Not in front of the family. I'm by myself in the room. Not in front of the kid that you put down? Well, the kid's dead, so... No, so I'm by myself in my room. Obviously, my wife's there, and I do this thing where I leave my underwear on one of my feet, right? I take one of my legs out, and I flip it up. I throw it up kind of like...
To catch it?
Yeah, and then I catch it, and that's how I put it in the bin. Wow. I did that. A little too close to a piece of furniture. And my toe smashes into this piece of furniture. And my big toenail splits right down the middle.
Oh, damn. I am on vacation.
I am in so much pain.
Yeah.
I had to get tissue paper, and I got the mouth tape. Remember the mouth tape?
Yeah, yeah.
I used mouth tape, tissue, and mouth tape. So that's what stopped it from like rubbing against my sock or my shoe and caught all the blood in the tissue paper. Luckily, it's not bleeding anymore. It's still very painful. Basically, now I just have like a 2-month wait.
Of a new nail fully takes over.
Sure,
yeah, dude. This is what you get when you talk about putting babies down, bro.
I mean, it wasn't me. I was about to duff this old lady out and take me to your husband.
Okay, well, look, I mean, at least I know you got a little bit of exercise, kicking your little underwear up.
Buddy, talk about exercise. We almost hit 100,000 steps on that trip.
Good for you.
100,000.
Collectively or you individually?
No, each of it, 200 collectively.
Okay, okay.
We almost. Well, I think we hit like 178.
Don't do this stolen valor. That's what I was
saying. I'm like, baby girl, why don't you take a couple laps?
What's your Fitbit say? I'm going to just compile those together.
Baby girl, why don't you jog in place while I eat this peachy?
I got to let the soccer podcast audience know.
You're making me look bad. Okay. I'll take the elevator. You take the stairs. Actually, I think I beat her because the first hotel we stayed in Florence.
You beat her? Yeah. Alexis.
I had to put her down. I had to put her down, dude.
All right.
I beat her steps because I took the steps down to beat the elevator every time. You know, these old European elevators are slow as hell.
Bro. All right. I'm surprised they even have elevators. All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Alexis is back from Italy. And if you want to hear all about it, listen to the audio podcast because that's where it's all
at. We're talking about putting babies down, baby.
Okay. A lot to go over today because we got some Heung-min Son chat. We have to talk about a lot of stuff going on in the Premier League. Now, I just have to remind myself that Son is not in the Premier League right there. I was going to just.
Right. It still feels weird.
It still feels weird because it's all very new. And then also, we are celebrating 10 years of the Cooligans today. So we have a little.
On what network?
We're on Yahoo Sports. 10 years, and we'll celebrate that.
Did Stefano do this?
No, he has a little bit more class.
How long have we been going?
10 years.
Oh my fucking God!
Wow, 10 years.
10 years. So in our third segment, we have a little video that we're going to react to. We got some messages from a lot of fine folks in some of our dear friends in the industry. Mm-hmm. So we'll react to that in a little bit. All right, let's start today with Young Min Sun. He made his full debut over the weekend. So let's take a look at some of the fan reaction. Fans are happy with Sun.
Not?
Not as much happy with me. Which is why it is it's our top topic presented by Buchanan's Blended Scotch Whiskey, an official FIFA World Cup 26 supporter. Nos vamos al Mundial with a Bucanita in hand.
This is the top topic.
So Sun has had his, he had his first start. It's his second game.
Yeah, he made his debut the match prior, but his first full start.
Yes, first full start. His first game was against the Chicago Fire at Bridgeview, mm-hmm. Which probably could have done amazing at Soldier Field if the Bears weren't in town or whatever.
Damn.
But then the second game in New England against the New England Revolution, LAFC ended up winning 2-0. But let's just. I don't know if we'll play back any of some old clips or whatever. But I mean, I can just come clean. I did not think,
because everyone's really enjoying it. But it seems like there's a segment of fans that have turned that enjoyment and used it as fuel to turn it into hate towards you.
This is the thing: is I know I also love Young Min Sun. I'm a fan. I love his character. Love his personality.
I trust everything I see on the internet. And the internet's telling me you are a hater, dude.
ChatGPT never lied. Right? I think because of probably the recency bias of everything that happened with Giroud and how that didn't work out well, and with just the last kind of year or so has not been, you know, Sun didn't even really start many games again under Ange Postecoglou, dealt with some injuries. Also, the bias from Tottenham fans who they frankly kind of hate their own team to some degree, right? There's a lot of vitriol and negativity even just around their own team, but they still show a lot of love to Sun.
Sun's also just one of the most beloved players.
Yeah.
He's there,
and
Ian
I said
Wright.
That. I'm like, I love him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if he's going to do that well.
And that was it. That moment right there.
That doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
I got no football knowledge.
If you look at our, you know, engagement chart on, you know, for per minute, that second right there is a spike.
So,
because a lot of people seem to have attached themselves to that statement where you're simply saying, hey, great player. I don't think he's going to do that well, which I thought was crazy because I think he's one of those players that automatically you can feel fits in MLS. He has the style of play. He has the charm. He has the, you know, the charisma to market the team. And it fits perfectly in LA, in a city that's, you know, obviously heavily Korean.
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't know. And that little I don't know upset a lot of people.
Just
because
even that. I mean, obviously. I said he's going to do, as far as from a business perspective.
You know what you did? You know when you walk into a surprise, you're at a surprise birthday party, the person walks in and goes, yeah, surprise. You're the one who goes, they didn't look that surprised. I think they knew. That's what you did. It just upset people. You know what I mean?
Sure. Just poured a little bit of water. It wasn't even like a bucket of water.
Nah, just a little.
My drinks spilled a little bit on the carpet.
You put ice down somebody's back, the back of their shirt.
No. So look, I can admit I was completely wrong. Even that first.
So far.
That first game against Chicago, he drew a penalty.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the game and I'm like, well, hold on. I was told that Sun was, you know, washed and wasn't fast and didn't have the sort of physicality, especially that's why he wasn't playing much at Tottenham.
And in that sub, we saw him be fast. Be decisive.
Be unwashed. Quite unwashed.
Yeah, he was dirty, dude. he was dirty.
He was quite filthy, to be honest. And his pace, that was the first thing I was surprised by. I'm like, how? I just did not think he would be significantly faster than a lot of center backs or just a lot of players in MLS. I thought the physicality of the league was Yeah, he's 33.
It is a very physical league. It takes its toll on you, but he just got
here. Well, like, and MLS, you know, the conversations are like, you know, the quality of the league is not great, which is like, whatever. I mean, comparatively, yes, it is not as good as the Premier League. It is not as the Premier League. But the players are still pretty strong and they are still pretty fast, right? But the...
And also the game is very back and forth.
Right. And so credit to Son, because he even in that play where he drew the penalty, He is clearly still very fast. But the timing of his runs, like the knowledge of the game of what's happening around him is still that's where you see the quality. Similar to like we just saw Thomas Müller play. I'm like physically he's not going to be running back and forth and he's not box to box or whatever. And even in the Tommy, we're going off topic, but Thomas Müller was in front of the player that scored the tying goal.
Yeah,
and. So I'm not expecting Thomas Müller to do much defending, but Son is even more specific to a team like LAFC. He is not going to be asked to defend. He's playing at the nine.
I would almost say, please don't defend.
Don't bother.
Yeah. And so that's not why you were brought in.
So he's putting his energy in attacking and being.
Although if you look at his heat map, he was fairly box to box. He was doing a really great job.
He puts the effort in, but yeah. where it really matters
is his attacking. It's the final third. So, and we saw him start as striker, but really his effectiveness is top of the box. Zone 14, if you will.
Right.
Which is, if all the defenders are going to collapse to me, Heung-min Son, a legend, fair. Right. I'm going to now pass the ball to a bunch of really open players with a lot of space.
Yeah.
And you're seeing how positively it's affected. Just Denny Bawanga never hugged Giroud this way.
Right. And they both speak French.
Yeah. Denny Bawanga and Giroud never got along this. Yeah,
he's fitting in perfectly. I mean, there's and we only have two games. We have
one and a half.
Yeah, right. To really look at. But
you questioning that just how it would work. Which is fair. That's what I think. There's a disconnect between audiences who watch our show and or any show on television that or on the internet that involves conversations about football, and they think this is some type of service. You know what I mean? Like we're explaining the game to you, and I think that's why they're
as opposed to. Please don't do that.
Please, not our show. Okay.
I
think they forget that we are not just entertaining, but our job is trying to entertain people. But really, it's. We're just having conversations. So how you feel is just, hey, maybe I haven't seen enough. I think you take the cause and effect. Hey, he didn't play a lot. He hasn't been a focal point of this attack.
Right.
Maybe he's washed versus, hey, he hasn't played a lot. He hasn't been the focal point of this, of the attack, of an insane attack under Ange Postecoglou. He's going to come into beyond midseason fully fresh. And he's going to be able to be one of the most electric players because his legs are nowhere near as tired as everyone else on the pitch
exactly.
Because he just got here. So it's really just a cause and effect. The audiences also didn't give you that give you that leeway.
So they were
very upset.
Let's look at some of the comments from the other video. So Rhino 9966.
He commented a couple times. Am I not mistaken?
so he or they, we don't know.
They?
But it says the man in yellow, which I was wearing a yellow shirt the other day. Now I'm wearing a green one. So not. Say it, everybody, the man in green.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling me a man. I appreciate it. The man in
that's
yellow.
That's a step in the right direction.
The man in yellow.
Also, can I give them a credit? Hey, they didn't say the skinny one.
Hey, that's bad for me.
Yeah.
Things are getting bad for me.
Bro, that dad bod really coming in, bro.
The man in yellow has no real knowledge of football. If you're going to have a discussion like this, at least do some internet research. Internet research, I love it. 2 years ago.
Do not go to a library.
As a matter of fact, close all the libraries down. Then either. 2 years ago, Sonny scored 17 goals in the Premier League, the world's best league, ranking 8th in the league. He's also ranked 3rd in assists. Yes, but that was 2 years ago. Last year, he did not do that.
Again, the context, they're not taking, which as you said, he was injury prone. He was not playing matches.
Yes, I was a little pessimistic.
Also, to be washed means you were good at one point. You were not washed. Your point was, maybe he ain't the same player, and all he did was show you the stats.
Yes,
you referenced those.
I have access to them as well. Yeah. It's not that that I don't know they exist.
Maybe you should do some listening in there, Rhino.
Willie SOK 8022.
Or Willie's okay.
Willie's okay. I didn't see that. Okay. Right. Seem like
the guy read that very weirdly.
Well, I'm not okay after this comment.
Is Christian an alien that just came to Earth?
Seems like it's a quote. Seems like a couple ignorant guys talking downplaying the arrival of Son. Who do they have in MLS? I'm assuming that's what he meant to say. Who do they have in MLS that's recognizable besides Messi around the world? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, hold on.
Okay.
did a Midwestern dad? Yeah, that's what I thought. And hey. then for that?
My man's going to do it. I'm surprised he didn't start with newsflash,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. Listen here, bucko.
Okay, Willie's okay. Yeah. All right. And Spurs Television said, I assume these guys are going to eat their words afterwards. Downgrading Youngman's son was hilariously funny. Well, that's the point of the show.
I wasn't downgrading him and son at all. That's two comments that said these guys are eating. Yellow shirt, dog. Yeah. Stick to the plan. Go back and read Rhino's comment.
All right. You're part of the problem too, Alexis. Yeah,
damn.
How dare you work with Yellow Shirt? Nobody likes that guy.
Yeah, damn. I'm catching collateral damage. Well, for your, might I add, non-internet research ignorance.
I cannot believe I did not do the internet research necessary. I go to x.com for all the information I need.
Damn, I go to xnxx.com. There's just no research to be had there.
There's nothing. All the sun-related stuff gross.
Get your mom's head out of the dishwasher. Not that way, son.
Anyway.
let me tell you, sun's not washed.
Stepson,
might I add.
I guess.
Stepson, very importantly. It's very important to make that distinction.
Apologies for all the sun slander that I guess we delivered last week. But
make a sincere apology to these fans.
I mean, Carter, play some sad music. I apologize to all the YouTube commenters, but I also have to say thank you for leading me in the right direction. This was an oversight, a mistake. I know that you expect so much from your soccer/football podcast. You even hate that I said the word soccer in my apology. But I am grateful for all the guidance and advice. I was wrong. Sonny, even that has become a controversy. We can't call him Sonny. He wants us to call him Sonny. But as soon as an announcer on the broadcast calls him Sonny, everyone gets angry about that. But this is why we appreciate Youngman's son in this league. And now we're here to take care of him. So apologies to all. And, you know.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, bucko.
Couldn't have said it better.
Willie's okay.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Also, you better apologize to me. I had nothing to do with that segment.
Alexis did nothing wrong for the first time in this history of this podcast.
This is
going to
be genius, this move.
So, son got another assist. He laid the ball off to Matthew Chouanier, which also
his first goal ever.
First goal for LAFC, but also it's one of those signings. I'm like, why is Matthew Chouanier on LAFC? Yeah. It seemed like he was like Montreal's best player, and now he's over here.
Do you just get to pick that you want to play with, son? Is that how this works?
So maybe that's the same draw. Look, and credit to son, because outside of just what he is doing on the pitch as far as like stats or whatever. He is functionally a fantastic teammate. It's great. Right. That's been one of the most fun parts to see he laid the ball off to where everyone, if he would have taken that shot, would have been like, hey, it's son.
You can do whatever he wants.
He deserves an opportunity for his first goal or whatever, but he laid that ball off for a guaranteed goal to close that game out.
I think his ignorance helped out because had he known Chouanier had never scored before, he'd be like, I'm not passing up to this guy.
I don't know this.
I'm thinking to myself. I don't mind. I've seen my man's stats, it looks like a box of donuts. Yeah.
Hugging his teammates, encouraging his teammates, whether they score a goal,
big
whether they
miss
an opportunity. Yeah. He's always encouraging. Whenever there's a big chance, he's always rallying the rest of the team. And you can just see the optimism and joy that he brings to the game is sort of affecting the rest of the player. I saw
way like a child would play it.
Sure. But I saw Bawanga on, he was on Morning Footy, maybe. I don't remember what he was on. He was on something on TBS. And he was just smiling from ear to ear, like in the hotel room on this Zoom call, just like so happy to be like just, you know, like correcting sort of the course of the season.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that again, the vibes were a little bit different with Giroud. So that's like, why it's just all working out pretty well. So no, man. I'm excited to go forward with seeing Son in the league. And we still haven't seen him play at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles. Yeah, he's played two away games. So I don't know when their next.
Can you add seats? I would suggest adding seats.
It might be a good opportunity. But yeah, okay. Let's a couple of things in MLS that we want to talk about. The Matt Turner,
he's made his way back to MLS.
Yes, we haven't. Right? We spoke about the last time we spoke about it was when it was rumored, but he's already played his, I believe, second match.
Right.
In Major League Soccer, lost this one.
So this came up because him coming back feels like maybe a step backwards for some people. But really, when you're a goalkeeper and you have a year left before the World Cup and you're not getting minutes in Europe, you just need minutes. Coming back to the place that made you good enough to go to Europe doesn't seem like a step backwards. Maybe it is in a bit. Maybe it is because it means the European dream didn't work out. And obviously, there's a lot of issues going on with the Lyon move and whatnot in Crystal Palace. So coming back at least got him away from the drama and allowed him to start. So we could talk about whether that was the right move for Matt Turner, how he looks coming back, and whether that can put him in line for the U.S. Men's National Team. But that also brings about the question as what's going on with Gio Reyna, right? Because I don't know if you saw this, but Freddie Adu kind of, I don't know if he said it or tweeted it or what, but he was credited with a sentence or a statement saying, this reminds me of me. Really good player that could play well when he comes to the U.S. Men's National Team, but just can't get on a team in Europe. And that makes me fear, is Gio Reyna heading in the Freddie Adu direction, is coming back to MLS the right move for Gio Reyna?
I think obviously just playing anywhere, but he just has to raise his stock somewhere.
But there's levels below Borussia Dortmund that are still in Europe, right? So I think of what Malik Tillman was able to do, which is go to, right? Malik Tillman was attached to Bayern Munich. You know, these are massive clubs. He got the move to PSV. He used that as an opportunity to earn the manager's trust, play more minutes. And now the last time we saw him with the men's national team, he looked electric. Right. He looked incredible. In fact, I would even say he's probably the best 10 we have right now that's playing.
Sure.
Right? Because Gio Reyna is the only other guy that can compete. So now you have somebody who's not just getting minutes and looking good, but he's looking good in your shirt, in your national team shirt. So that takes away Gio Reyna's like one, you know, cushion for the fall.
Yeah.
Right now, he needs something. Would MLS be the right move, or do you think he still has to go out and search for a European spot? Because for me, I'm like, yo, you can't get in the Belgian league. You can't get to another team, a team in maybe not PSV, right? But maybe another team in the Dutch league, something of that nature where you're maybe not at the level of the top five, right? Maybe you're not going to get on in a Ligue 1 team or a La Liga team, walk right in and start. But there's got to be some leagues where you can walk in and start. Even if it's MLS, at least you're going to get minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset with, you know, we could talk about both. So Gio Reyna coming to MLS, I think would be a perfectly fine move. Matt Turner making that move and probably putting aside his ego and just being like, I need to play. And I was at the Gold Cup watching the games because I wasn't playing.
Right. Right now, the number one is Matt Freese, an MLS.
And still.
Yeah, goalkeeper.
And still. And so Matt Turner, it's an interesting situation because even in his first two games, like New England have other issues. That it wasn't really the goalkeeper problem. I mean, I'm glad he's playing, but the team is bad. Like they just on a really kind of poor run. So so Matt Turner's how it's going to affect him playing in the World Cup as of right now. He's still not even close to one. I don't think there's any real anybody can suggest that. So for Gio Reyna.
Well, let's keep talking about Matt Turner because Zach Steffen came back and do you give him, has he taken a step forward? Not really.
Not really. It's just kind of the same. I mean, I think Zach Steffen has an opportunity. He's making some kind of big saves, important saves for Colorado, but he gave up that goal the other in Seattle against Rusnak. So he's still making a couple mistakes here and there. So Matt Freese right now, when you just watch them play, Matt Freese is has a good combination of he plays on a decent team. You know, NYCFC are in eighth in the Eastern Conference, but it's a tight Eastern Conference. It's competitive. But he's playing on a team where his team has an opportunity to win the game, but he is the reason. He could be the reason why they win games.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
He stops huge chances.
And you also saw him in penalties with a men's national team shirt, which seems like a superpower.
So he's like a game-changing goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And the other, Turner and Freeze are not, right? Like, that's kind of where the bigger, like, the differences
Turner
I see.
Stephen.
And Stephen, yeah. Stephen is making the stops that he should be making, but he's giving up the goals that he probably, that have a high XG. And Freeze is kind of, that's the main difference. He's stopping goals with high XG.
Yeah.
And so that's where you have to just like give a little bit of a favor to as far as like who's going to be the US number one. So I think, yeah, I mean, that's my thought as far as the goalkeeper situation.
It's like come back, but you have to do something spectacular to shine.
Yeah. Gio Reyna, at this point, I don't know what he's going to do in these next, 11 months. He can just maybe be a bench player. Like if he gets to a team where he just gets a lot of minutes, you see what it did for Malik Tillman is a great example. Chris Richards, we were watching Chris Richards three, four years ago being like, oh, he just doesn't really look ready. And now he is the number one.
Without a doubt.
He looks fantastic at Crystal Palace.
I remember when Crystal Palace, when he first started getting minutes at Crystal Palace, it was that defensive midfielder because they're like, you're not even good enough to be a center back. And now my guy is through and through.
Lockdown center back. And he's a Premier League center back and looks completely prepared for that kind of role. And you see just a sense of confidence and leadership. And that's, you would want that for Gio Reyna. He just needs...
Pulisic also. Remember, he went through the trauma, the drama associated with Chelsea, wasn't getting minutes after, lockdown. Pulisic, everybody remembers, was electric, was great, couldn't find that form again, was getting injured. All of a sudden, he goes to AC Milan, which some people said was a step back. I don't think so. Being one of the biggest clubs with that tons of pressure, that high level of expectation in a league like Serie A that's storied, to go there and to promote yourself, to produce the level of talent that he has produced and the games that he's produced and the goals and assists that he did. Where at one point we were talking about him being the best player in Serie A for, a couple of week period right? And certainly the best player at AC Milan for a period. I know the comments are going to go crazy about... Reinders, yes, but remember, at that period, he was inconsistent and injured, and that was Christian Pulisic's team. So we're talking about someone who raised their stock, or at least got it back to where it was. Can Gio Reyna, if Gio Reyna comes to MLS and balls out and has a good attitude and becomes a good teammate and all those things that seem to be kind of hovering over his head, if he can do all those things, is that still good enough to get him on the men's national team?
It should be. The quality is there. We've seen it. We've seen it in person, but... all the sort of drama around him that isn't with what he simply does on the pitch. I just think that loan to Nottingham Forest was like he can't get that like stink off of him, and that has nothing to do with Nottingham Forest. He just didn't. It just really didn't work out, and he was just on the world stage playing in the Premier League, and everyone saw him be bad.
Yeah.
And it's like in comedy when you watch.
You open for a big name and you're like, this is it. And you bomb.
And you bomb. And then everybody's like, oh, that's the guy who bombed in front of, Bert
Kreischer.
They're
like, oh my God, great to see you. And then they see you and they're like, hey, man, stay with it. Keep going. That's the worst thing you hear as a comment. Hey, don't give up. I wasn't good until you said it. Thank you, Willie's okay.
Willie's okay. Why are you in my real life? Yeah. Why are you coming to my shows?
Don't give up, Chief.
All right. Last thing real quick that I wanted to talk about, MLS related. Evander went back to Portland. FC Cincinnati went to Providence Park to play.
And the fans. Fantastic. Oh, they loved them.
Fantastic game. One of the more entertaining games this weekend. But I bring this up because I'm not used to seeing Portland fans, Timbers Army, boo almost any former Portland player. It's very rare.
Just the ownership.
The ownership gets a lot, yeah. But it's pretty rare. And every time Evander touched the ball, was getting booed by the entire stadium. And, for context, if people are not aware, obviously he left the Portland Timbers. He put out a tweet basically saying that he was disrespected. They disrespected him, his family. We never known the exact details of what...
No one's ever even him.
No, we may never know. Yeah, we may never know. But clearly, he was not happy with the organization. He hugged all his former teammates. He showed a lot of love. He did wave at the fans in the beginning, but clearly a bad taste in the mouths of all the fans. Mm. They didn't want him to leave. And he's a fantastic player. I mean, I always remember the opening game last year when he scored that late goal against NYCFC at Yankee Stadium in the rain and the whole thing. Just a fantastic player. But the fact that Timbers Army did this and they were promptly silenced by a man who gets an assist and a goal, and he scored his goal, is absolutely beautiful. I think it's an exciting time because we don't really have too many of these tiffs with MLS supporters. Tend to be if I see Timbers Army, they really do. It's like once a Timber, always a Timber kind of a thing.
Yeah,
like, no, once a Timber, and you're not
that. Except for that guy.
Except for that guy.
Well, you know what? We have a lot of friends in Timbers Army, I feel bad that they got clapped back in real time, except for those two dudes that seem to hate us because we celebrated on the pitch after. After New York City FC won.
What, we're not gonna celebrate?
Yeah, I mean, we work for the team. We were allowed on the pitch, but they're these guys who just absolutely. But they've never said it to our face. No. We've had to hear it from other people.
Right.
They've always given us other excuses as to why things didn't work out, so and so forth. I'm not gonna get into too much detail, but to find that out, I was like, oh, what a petty, stupid thing, because we celebrated you losing MLS Cup to our favorite team on your pitch.
It would have been so odd if we did not celebrate.
What do you want us to fly back to New York and celebrate there? It's 6 hours.
But I love.
So for everyone else, I feel bad that Evander did it, except for those guys.
Yeah. But I love that there's a little bit of a. Because Evander is also sort of seen as like the Carlos Vela of like doesn't really care. He doesn't really show much emotion around.
Bradley Ray Phillip even said it. Man, if this guy cared, he'd be great. Yeah. And now look at him.
And but he was like, he's like,
you woke up a monster, bro.
My man circled the date on this game. Yeah. So that was like,
he hit you with the ear cupping after celebration.
The goal. So,
Riquelme, bro.
I love that there's a little bit of he's like, he can be a villain. It's just not a thing I thought of Evander. I thought he would just handle this differently, but no, clearly something. It makes me want to know what the hell happened with the Timbers.
Let me send a couple texts. Maybe I can figure this
out. We'll figure it out. All right.
I don't know if I can tell you guys, but we'll figure it out.
Off the record. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll talk some Premier League right after this.
All right, so the first weekend of Premier League action has happened. We've only seen 90 minutes of every team. Perfect time for us to overreact and give some crazy predictions as we go around the league. Christian, what is your big first overreaction based on just one match?
Let's start with Manchester United, because Manchester United and Arsenal, I think both fan bases are overreacting a little bit, in Arsenal fans saying, we played so poorly, but you know, lucky we got this victory. And then Manchester United fans saying, oh, we played really well, and it was unfortunate that we lost. No, this is if that is true, that Arsenal were bad, then Manchester United should have performed much better, especially, and the stats themselves say that they should have at least gotten a result in this game. So the optimism that I think a lot of Manchester United fans have after this game is I think you're still in the same place you were last year. This is if it was an underperforming Arsenal, what a great opportunity for Manchester United to get something out of this game, especially at Old Trafford. No, this is a Ruben Amorim. Do we have the stat? Let me just pull it up.
You mean the quote?
Yeah. No, this is from. I got it here. So this from The Athletic, and they were quoting Opta Joe. Ruben Amorim suffered his 15th defeat in his 28th Premier League game as Manchester United manager. He has won 7 and drawn 6. This is the fastest a manager has reached 15 defeats in the competition.
Hey, fast.
Without taking charge of a newly promoted team in that period since Paul Hart with Portsmouth in 2009. And that was in 27 games. So this is if Arsenal were bad and and Manchester United had a lot of opportunities and they just obviously couldn't finish. And David Raya was spectacular. But this is, I don't see, I think the optimism is still pretty delusional. And we talked about this last season. Amorim, as soon as he took over for Ten Hag, it was just like, okay, the vibes are different. He's calling people out or whatever. But that's, bro, the magic tricks. How long can they keep working? Like, he really needs to get a lot of criticism. He's gotten rid of the players that he didn't like. Got rid of Rashford. Got rid of Garnacho. All right. Now, when do we start saying enough is enough? Because he I think he has a very, very long leash of how, I guess, how brilliant or commanding people think that he is. Is the message resonating with the players if you're not getting the results?
Interesting. Because my overreaction is that Manchester United are actually pretty good.
Oh, my goodness.
And Arsenal kind of worrying me a little bit. Now, while I understand what you're saying, from watching this game, here's what I saw. I saw a Manchester United that was able to attack more freely. They feel more in the vision of what Ruben Amorim would hope to play.
Yeah.
You know, a Ruben Amorim that wanted the 3-4-3 and wanted, you know, a certain style of play, wanted a certain type of attack. He seems to be having that more. And I'll tell you what moment for me specifically as an Arsenal fan, for the first time in the Ruben Amorim era, I worried about playing Manchester United was when Benjamin Sesko came in in the second half. And I saw, oh, this guy's huge.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty tall.
He's huge.
Well, that's why he dunked a basketball under his legs.
He's not just an athletic freak you guys talked about so well when I was gone. I think you guys did an amazing job of breaking down how we really need him on the Knicks. but when I looked at him, I said, this guy could be dangerous in every layer of the game. Corners, obviously. Crosses coming in, obviously. Just belt it in. This guy's going to get to it before anybody besides the keeper can, because the keeper can use his hands, and that's the only advantage you have. I said this guy was going to take on a lot of the attention from both of our center backs. Seeing that, I don't think we've seen the best of Manchester United play. What I did see at Manchester United that we're getting a ton of chances. If I'm not mistaken, they doubled Arsenal's shots.
They did, yeah. Well, they got 22 to their 9.
I mean, it's what I'm talking about. They were getting opportunities. Had they been more clinical and had they had a striker that's a little bit sharper, I think we would see a lot more goals. And I think we would have seen a very different result. Arsenal looked scared. Arsenal, this was the fastest Arsenal had ever tried to play. They were simply trying to counter. Once again, Martinelli wholly ineffective. I think the style of play was clearly geared towards Gyökeres and what Gyökeres is good at. And I think you saw how even Saka was like unfamiliar with the pace at which they were trying to play. His job is, or at his best, he can slow the game down and really attack a defender.
Yeah.
You've got two or three defenders on you. There's no overlap. There wasn't enough of an overlap to really clear some of the defenders from him. The left side clearly wasn't a pressure release. And I was starting to see like, yo, the few moments Arsenal had in the attacking third, obviously they made the most of it on a set piece. But if Arsenal think they're going to be able to go against every team in the Premier League this way, they're not going to be very successful. On the other hand, I think Manchester United, despite Ruben Amorim's quote, which is crazy, that we showed we could beat any team in the Premier League. You ain't even beat the one team you played, bro.
You're 0-1. Why?
And you were home. And we could talk about the Manchester United as a club still kind of in shambles. That half the fans couldn't even get in.
Oh, yeah,
in the 30th minute, the ticket system wasn't working. There's a video of a guy going like, look at all the fans outside. They're not being let in. One guy said he's had a season ticket since 1966, and they told him that his ticket says he's not allowed in the stadium, which is insane. They're like, damn, bro, we sold that.
We never seen you here before.
Nah, man. Since 1966, bro, this team wasn't even around back then, bro.
Nobody here was alive back then.
Yo, we can't trust your word for it. Since the year England won the World Cup is when he bought season tickets to Manchester United and they wouldn't allow him in. And then he pans and the stewards like don't know what they're doing, the staff. And he's like, she's eating a sausage roll. It's just one of the staff.
Well, the stewards are 16 years old.
Yeah, shorty needed a bite. Let her have it. Your ticket's not working. It's not her fault. But the United Manchester United shambles, they did not look it on the pitch for the first time in a long time. On the pitch, they seemed like they had a plan, they had a system, and if they were just a bit more clinical in front of goal, or if Benjamin Sesko had started the whole match, I think Arsenal was walking away from Old Trafford.
If they were, that's it. I mean,
they look good, man.
We're gonna say this.
Where do you think Manchester United ends this season? Let's go. We're gonna do crazy overreactions. Go ahead.
Overreaction. I think they'll end up not in. They'll be in the top 10. They'll probably be eight.
All right. Top eight.
Top eight.
Yes or no? Eight is the
eight.
They'll so let's say 7.5 over under. You think they go above 7.5?
No.
Are below, they in 7? They're below?
Eight. I'm going to say 8.
I think they finish in the top 8. I'll say 7.5. I'll be above it.
Yeah, so you're...
7. 7 or above it.
Okay. I don't know what confidence you have in... And they played a team that were, quote-unquote, bad, and they could not get a result there. So are they going to figure some stuff out? Because I thought Mbeumo looked pretty good. I thought he, like... was a little dangerous sort of at times. I think he's finding his footing. But Cunha was great. I thought
Cunha's amazing.
Cunha was great. And I thought they defended pretty well. I thought De Ligt and Yoro played okay.
Goalkeeping situation still a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the. But I think that. I give more credit to Arsenal being so good at set pieces over. Bandier.
But was that, was that that great of a set piece? Because all it was clearly Declan Rice like, I need to do this on my own. He looked like he was going for an Olympico, or maybe that's just the way the cross was heading.
No, that almost all the set pieces for all the corners that are taken are incredibly dangerous to either that near post or far post.
Yeah, but usually it's to the head of the running defender that was outside of that scrum.
Sometimes, I mean, but.
To try to Olympico was kind of crazy.
But the I think the intention was that flick on, which Arsenal have done plenty of times. But the pressure that they put on the goalkeepers with a big body in front of him, Bandier, yes, should he be a little bit more forceful?
You got to command the box.
You got to command. I mean, you really got
good advice.
You got to hit.
For prom night.
You got to punch somebody like in the face.
You got to push people out of the way.
The ref is going to favor you most of the time. Yeah. I think Tim Howard in the broadcast said you either forcefully hit the ball or you act like you got hurt. And he said you go down.
Yeah.
So that's how much manipulation he's even suggesting or how much influence goalkeepers have.
You have to. You can't
be like,
you can't tap it up to Calafiori's head.
Right. It looked really, really bad. So but I give more credit to Arsenal and how good they are at set pieces and the pressure. And because it's not even just the tipping the ball over. It's also psychologically it has to do something. It's like, oh man, another Arsenal set piece. Like, all right, what's going to happen next? Somebody's going to make a mistake at some point.
We talk about this a lot when it comes to penalties, right? Like all the pressure's on the kick taker. The goalkeeper's like, hey man, if I save this, you look terrible.
Right.
If I let it go in, I don't look bad. It's a penalty. So I think in this situation, Arsenal are so good at set pieces that the pressure is almost always on the defending team on a set piece. Because they're like, bro, they're going to make a highlight out of us.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Another thing that happened in that game at halftime, there was a halftime interview of Martin Odegaard. Sky Sports had done an interview at halftime.
A halftime interview.
It's
pretty common.
We're used to it.
It's a pretty normal thing.
NBA.
NFL.
NFL. I mean,
college.
Interview during the game. While the ball is in the air.
The coach is talking to a camera and a reporter while is going on behind him.
We are used to this. This is not a shock, but the British internet.
The British?
Crazy.
Are treating it like their healthcare got privatized.
which I could understand being upset about. I'm upset that it's private here now.
We also hate that, but we don't mind a halftime interview. What is going on? People act like the game, to quote, game's gone. Because the captain of Arsenal was asked three questions on his way to the lockers.
Right.
Or to the training or the dressing room, whatever you want to call it, changing room.
Is that it is a halftime interview, but it is like, it wasn't, I don't believe, it wasn't an American doing the interview. This was on Sky Sports. See the microphone, it says Sky right on it.
In fact, you know it's Sky Sports because they talk in the microphone like this. they don't talk directly into it. You know what I'm talking about?
Their nose.
We ain't trying to hear you breathe. Your deviated septum is not interviewing. So, but yo, they hate the fact that it's America, the sports being Americanized.
Right. I mean, that isn't necessarily what it means.
Well, nope. You know what, Brits? Get ready because now the t-shirt cannon is coming. This is it, baby. Figuring the top deck is getting a couple free promo tees.
Okay. So
Gunnosaurus is gonna jump off a trampoline and dunk. That's what's coming next.
I went to my first Mets game in a long time since the pitch clock was introduced.
Yeah.
And also love the pitch clock.
So much quicker.
Game is just moving along.
We're moving along, baby.
But the one thing, it was just a reminder. Baseball, there is no... baseball is a dull game, generally. Yeah. Like, there are many lulls in baseball.
It's a day at the park. It's a casual game.
But they have TikTokified baseball.
They don't let you blink.
There's not a moment. No. You're not hearing sound. Yeah. You're not hearing music. You're not seeing Mr. and Mrs. Met dancing.
Uh-huh.
The t-shirt cannon. There's always...
In some stadiums, a sausage is chasing Abraham Lincoln.
They had that. Yeah. they had the little mascot race or whatever. Same thing. T-shirt cannon, music, El Alfa playing anytime there was a walk-up or whatever. And hey... This is gonna happen a little bit, okay? The game is they're trying to make it entertaining, welcome more people, get more people. A lot of people may not hear from Martin Odegaard, right?
If
they're
not
YouTube looking up on YouTube.
I'd love to hear what the captain is thinking about, you know, an away match at the halftime. How'd you play? We played a little hectic out there. That was most of the quoted game, but that was said enough of like, all right, he's repeating what I'm seeing.
Yeah, why is it so repulsive?
I don't
to
understand.
Hear them speak at halftime. I don't get that. I don't get why it's so terrible.
Also, you didn't take the whole halftime.
Right.
Three quick questions.
It wasn't a 15-minute docu series.
They didn't pause the game for a concert.
Right.
You know what I mean? I get that upsets. Halftime concert idea really upsets a lot of Brits as well. I just don't understand how it's not like cheerleaders came out and carried Martin Odegaard. You know what I mean? It wasn't, Martin Odegaard didn't have to change a shirt into a Coca-Cola shirt.
Exactly, yeah.
And give the interview. But again, these teams want to make more money. The league wants to make more money. The idea of football in Europe, you need to make more revenue so you can continue to spend this crazy amount of money on all these players that you, the fans, you're going to have to start doing some of these things.
Right. You can't be like, why is my club not spending money? And it's like, well, okay, if you've enclosed yourself and not allow your players to be on camera or do anything, then that's what I'm not saying. Arsenal doesn't do that.
No, but how about Sky Sports spend a couple billy?
Sky Sports is like, yo, give me Martin Odegaard. Show me your feet, Martin. Yeah. They're going to go crazy.
Yo, dip your foot in mayo. We got to make this money up.
We spent a lot of money on the rights.
But this is the thing. What makes the Premier League so much better than every other league in the world? It's the amount of money they make and the amount of money they can spend and the amount of money they can pay the players. Comes from the TV contracts. How these TV companies making this money up in a game that has no commercial breaks. No commercial breaks.
Right.
If that's three questions to the captain of one of the teams at halftime, then so be it.
Because even in the previous segment, right, and some of the comments were about how the Premier League is the best league, and what do you think? MLS is going to, you know, Son is not going to do well in MLS, but he came from the Premier. If you're going to boast and be big-chested about your Premier League and how great it is and how you get the best players and you got the most money, that comes at a cost.
Money.
Money is a factor.
You need to money if you're going to spend money.
You want
to
be the best league? Well, get on these goddamn Doritos commercials.
Yeah.
All right? Start doing some advertising.
Also, League On needs to be watching this, and they need to mic up every player. They need to do body cams for the players.
They want the best league, but they want the tradition.
No, you know what
it
is.
They want things to change.
No, you know what it is? It's not that. It's that they think they deserve the best league because they're British. They think because we're the Premier League, we deserve all that. No. You've earned that over time,
right?
Because of the players that go play in that league. I will remind you, no Englishman has ever won the league as a manager. You've brought in great managers. You've brought in great players. You've brought in great systems and tactics. You need to keep that money train going. And if the people that are paying you, which is Sky Sports and all these other channels, are saying, yo, we need you to do three quick questions or two quick questions at the beginning of a half, bruh, stop complaining. Because guess what? There's a lot more coming behind that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wait till you guys have to find cheerleaders. Ugh.
Bro, you're going to see Gabriel Magalhães doing TikTok dances soon. No,
100%.
don't be that surprised. All right. Last thing. Premier League related, which is also wild. The opening match in the Premier League was Liverpool against Bournemouth, and a great game, obviously very emotional, especially a lot of the
Diogo Jota
to Diogo Jota. But the one of the moments in the game that that took a lot of attention away from those moments was Antoine Semenyo, who I had seen in the summer series. Remember, I was talking about him a couple weeks ago.
Incredible player.
And I was like, dude, I've never seen this guy playing. This guy's unbelievable. He's really, really good. And he scores two goals against Liverpool, tying the game. And they end up conceding two more. And Liverpool went.
There was a period in the game though where it stopped.
Yes, and I wasn't sure exactly what happened, but there was a throw-in that Semenyo was doing, and somebody was yelling at him in from the sideline. And
he was racially abused.
He was racially abused, out. And that's why the game was stopped. And then when we look,
but they didn't say who. But then you see the moment. The moment was captured from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
It turns out it was a fan in a wheelchair.
A Liverpool fan in a wheelchair racially abusing Antoine Semenyo. This, it's also, what a weird sentence to say. You know what I mean? It just feels like.
I think we have this preconception of like, if someone's in a wheelchair, they just happen to be there.
They're just, you know, life has been maybe
tough.
Tough.
You know what? They have a good positive outlook. No, man.
No. Some people in wheelchairs can also be racist. Yeah. Which is like, it's a thing where you're not necessarily, you don't think it's impossible.
No, it just shocks you when you hear it.
Exactly, right? And especially on such a big stage, right?
Also, sometimes if you're in the wheelchair, I think a lot of these clubs give those tickets out for either a lot less or free. Sometimes sure. They get free entrance, you know, and then there's a whole section provided just for them so they can have access in and out, which I think is a wonderful thing. Maybe vet some.
You know? But this
look at what stickers they got on the wheelchair is what I'm saying.
The person was arrested and they are officially banned from every football stadium in the United Kingdom. So
you think you're trying to take off on a guy?
This is like you. It's like I want to make fun of him,
yeah,
and not disabled people.
No,
right?
No. This got nothing to do about disabled. It's about this guy.
What the hell?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's a lot of the jokes online about, you know, obviously he wasn't going to stand up or run away or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I think his wheelchair was spinning to the right because he had his hand left. He only had the one hand,
but. So I was like looking at Semenyo, right? Obviously, when he informed the referee and he was getting a lot of support from also Liverpool players as well. But even it has to be such a strange thing, right? Obviously, to be racially abused sucks. But then it's like, who racially abused you? And then it's like, oh, that guy. And it's like, you sure? Like, somebody had to be like,
the cops arrest the guy behind them.
I know it was you. Yeah. He pointed right at you. Sir in the wheelchair.
Sorry.
I'm sorry you had to witness it.
Yeah, sir with the SS tattoo on your arm.
You just have to. You're going to assume.
I'm sorry, guy looking up Elon Musk's history.
it's such a surreal thing. And it's surreal because to deal with the racial abuse on its own is just so ridiculous. And the response, he's like, I ain't going to let this racist dude in the wheelchair, you know, get in my head and whatever. And he scores two goals and ties the game. So that was like great to see. But it is also like if you think of a villain in a movie, you don't think he's necessarily in a wheelchair. You know what I mean?
Wasn't there like a comic book character in a wheelchair?
I'm sure there was. I'm just saying.
Is there?
I'm Professor X, but he was not.
Oh, he's not a villain.
He's not a villain. He's a very good guy.
X-Men. Yeah.
And that's the thing is that people in wheelchairs in the comic books get a very good rap.
Yeah,
get the publicity has been very good.
Well, now's the time, comic books.
You need a villain.
We've got your inspiration.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of villains in wheelchairs, and none come to mind.
When you see like racist rallies or like people marching, racist thing, you never think you're going to see someone
because they're
in a
marching.
Yeah.
They're usually marching.
Yeah,
they're not wheeling. They're not rolling.
Yeah. You just don't think you're going
to
see it.
It's not the rolling for racism. Yeah, I don't want to go to that.
Has he never had a nurse help him that wasn't white? You know?
So insane, man. Unfortunate, but I appreciated that it was handled immediately, and it seems like year over year
they took it serious when Semenyo said something, and that's to me the most important part.
And
because there's no racial abuse, I don't care who it comes from. If it was Mother Teresa, which
turns out she was a little bit. You think they handcuffed him
to the chair?
Maybe, I don't know.
You think they lock his wheel up? Damn.
Oh, damn. You're not getting anywhere, buddy. Gross. It's just a terrible thing to see. But it's just so strange that this way. And it's unexpected. And it's the opening game of the Premier League, bro. There, people are watching this game. You're going to get in trouble. Yeah. I can't believe it even happened.
He's banned for life.
Banned for life. What are you going to do?
What?
47 years old as well.
Damn, you got time, dog.
You could be missing a couple matches that you want to go to. All right. Let's take a quick break and then let's celebrate 10 years of the Cooligans right after this. So it's been 10 years since we started this podcast.
I brought a gift for you, too, and I forgot it at home.
Look at that. Well,
it's for your baby. It wasn't for you.
All right. Well, even worse, I guess. More reason to be sad.
I don't know. Not like your baby knows.
So we started this podcast in August of 2015.
Yep.
And it is it's 2025. When we started, we did not know what this would be, what it would become. Most
you probably were like, I'll say yes to this guy's idea because it's not like I'm going to be working with him week to week for 10 years.
I didn't care about that. I'll be honest. I enjoyed working with you, with any comic that was interested in doing something fun. I think when we started the podcast, I was in a terrible place, emotionally, as far as what I thought about my comedy career. I was I'm like trying everything. I'm on the road. I'm doing this and doing that. And like, nothing's really kind of panning out.
You were like trying to do like, there was like a YouTube type SNL type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing a show at the Pit, a monthly show called Metro Section, where we were doing basically a daily show. And the hope was to be a writer on Daily Show or something like that. That's what I was really working
towards. So you were really in the mood of producing stuff. And I was in the mood of not having to do all that.
Sure.
But being on camera. So I thought, wow, this guy's literally lined up perfectly.
So when we started and we started talking about, you like soccer, I like soccer. That's how we connected.
We got season tickets.
We got season tickets to NYCFC.
We made some people around us laugh.
So that started in March, I forgot, 14th or something, was the first home game for NYCFC. We go to that. And then little by little, we start talking about like, hey, we should do something soccer related.
Well, you and I had a conversation about how like, man, there's really not a lot of content around this game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there were some for sure.
Comedic, especially.
There was nothing that like really resonated with us.
Sure.
Right? And I was like, yeah, you know, it seems like a lot of the stuff's like very analytical. There's nothing like just two funny people just talking about the game.
Exactly.
But like professionally funny, not just like people who happen to find the mic and happen to be funny, which there are a lot of. We're talking about like two people who are like, specifically, we're going to shoot right for this, right down the middle.
Yeah. So, and it lasted 10 years. I'll give some thoughts afterwards, but we got some messages from
beautiful.
A lot of folks that we haven't seen yet. So, Carter put this video together and let's take a look.
Hey guys. Hello, Christian Alexis.
Hi, Cooligans. Hey.
What's up, Cooligans? This is Anna Fuller.
Oh, what's up, Cooligans? This is Taylor from the Total Soccer Show. Yay. You guessed that already.
Alexis, Christian, congratulations on 10 years, man.
Congrats on such an incredible milestone.
An honor of 10 years of Cooligans. Hey. I have 10 things to say to you both.
Alexis, Christian, and the Cooligans family, it's been 10 years since y'all been doing this. Damn!
Massive congratulations. Alexis, Christian, sending you so much love for your 10-year anniversary.
I truly cannot believe it's been 10 years.
10 years? Pretty good run for some guys trying something that had essentially never been done in a business that doesn't always appreciate new ideas and unconventional perspectives.
10 years of the Cooligans. That's 10 years of Alexis yelling and Christian laughing mid-yell and still somehow managing to still be considered a soccer podcast. So no small feat, gentlemen. Like, kudos to you.
That is not sped
Number
up.
One, I love it. Number two. I refuse to believe it's been 10 years. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and Alexis is going to be explaining cream cheese in depth to me.
What an accomplishment. 10 years is insane, kind of try-hardy, but whatever.
I first heard the Cooligans. These guys are coming at the game and coming at the league from a completely different perspective than anything that I was aware of.
Congratulations on 10 years of Fair the Cooligans. Beam. Been so awesome seeing every iteration of the show throughout that time.
Who would have thought that a plucky Cubano and his young Sudanese child
could come together to create such an institution.
Here's to 10 years of the Cooligans. And many more to come. I'm loving the Yahoo glow up. Y'all got reggaeton beats now. The shit's jamming.
Especially during the more later years when you guys started doing live streams. I can't even tell you how excited I was whenever I used to write comments and Alexis would read my comments. That used to make my day.
You guys and I kind of like emerged on the scene at the same time, and to watch what you have built and created is so awesome and gratifying.
Being a producer on your guys' show is genuinely my favorite job I've ever had, and I couldn't be prouder that you guys made it to 10 years and that I could have played, you know, a small part.
I guess we could probably, like, mark the show between the first time the two of you ever had me on and how great I was compared to right now.
Your content is different. Your takes are always refreshing. Even in the years that I've known you, you guys have progressed so much.
Your hustle was relentless. Your jokes, on point. Mostly.
You built something really funny in a space full of recycled takes and very vanilla opinions and dudes who think charisma is just pronouncing jobby. Like you're in a BBC period drama. Let's be real. The bar is real low, but that would never be you. That could never be you.
Our diversity is our strength, and I think that is true of our country, and I think that is true of soccer in this country. And so I'm proud to have known these guys for a decade, and I'm proud to still be a listener.
That your show remains a source of positivity and joy in a landscape that doesn't always offer either of those in abundance is a credit to you both. Plus, it's been at least a little while since Alexis talked about going to the bathroom during a game, so that feels like broadcasting progress.
I look up to you guys in so many ways, and I'm so grateful for you guys, and I'm so happy and proud of y'all for 10 years in this space.
What you bring to this space is so necessary, and to have been a teeny, teeny, tiny part of it, it's just awesome.
Thank you for all that you do. I not only value your show, but I value you more as friends.
Number 10, Alexis, you're my dog for life. Christian, if you ever want to play Street Fighter, let me know.
We just love you so much, NBC, and loved having you when we first met you at FanFest. Made everyone's weekend so much better. And I know you make everyone's weeks better every time the podcast comes out.
The only soccer podcast my wife and daughter like. From road trips to school commutes, even they've been charmed by the bands. What's next? Maybe you'll be holding a mic on a FIFA stage next year, glazing Gianni Infantino.
I do have some show notes for the next 10 years, so a little bit more screaming during the videos. Maybe a halftime show, just stop the podcast, you know, midway through, give us a little bit of a show, a little bit of maybe singing, dancing. Ponder that one for me. My next note just says Messi, so I don't know.
Miss you both. Hope I can see you both in the flesh sometime soon. Until then, I will hold my memories of road tripping around the country with you all dear to my heart, of Christian's wedding, and of late night photo shoots in Germany, which is close to the heart as well.
I genuinely feel like you guys are my brothers. I'm so proud of you for this 10 years. I can't wait to see what you do 10 years and beyond. And congratulations once more.
Here's to another 10 years. And can't wait to watch what shenanigans the two of you get up to.
Here's to the skies and above. Congrats.
Love you both. Hugs from afar. Congrats again.
10 more years, Cooligans. Congratulations, guys. Love you.
So here's a toast to the road less traveled and more gully.
Damn Cooligan.
Let's go.
That was beautiful, man. That's the wrong sound.
Fitting for our show. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
That
man.
Was beautiful. Thank you, everybody, for sending in those messages. And Carter, thank you so much for putting that together.
Some really, real really blast cool. in the past in there, huh?
100%. Yeah. I mean, some people may not recognize some voices.
Right. Kirby was on there. That was the first assistant.
Our first intern. Yeah. Kirby Pate. So a lot of the Cooligans OGs remember Kirby. We had obviously Meg Linehan, Christine Kubo, Good Vibe John, Kevincho, Matt Doyle, Charles Bohm.
Susanna Fuller. By the way, is battling breast cancer. She's talking about it very publicly. So
I did. Yeah. So obviously wishing the best and a lot of support.
Our positive thoughts are with you.
Yeah. Thank you for Susanna and everybody else. Just so many kind messages. Yeah. You don't necessarily realize, especially from our peers in the industry, of like what impact we can have necessarily.
We just always assume it's negative.
We just assume, or it's absent, right?
Yeah.
but, But that was really nice to see. And obviously, very, very heartwarming.
That's beautiful.
From them. So thank you. Yeah, it's been 10 years, obviously. And then we have a World Cup coming up.
I can't believe they scheduled it to celebrate our 10 years. It's been.
They really were looking out for us.
Really? They were like, don't do it before. You can't do it before their 10 years.
So, you know, we have a lot to celebrate. So obviously, it is right now 10 years, but you know, we have the rest of the year. How people have a birthday month.
Yeah. This is the whole year.
The whole year is a celebration. So we're going to be doing a lot of other fun things as well. So yeah, really, I'm like trying not to cry watching.
That was super emotional.
Very emotional. So thank you everybody for sending in the messages. And shout out to all our fans that helped us get to 10 years. I mean, we have a lot of really dedicated and loyal supporters that have been with us for a decade.
10 years. They look very different than when we first met them. You got kids. And some of them, a little bit more gray. Some of us,
So we've all sort of grown up together, whether, we're doing the show in Alexis's kitchen.
Grab that picture. Let's show them one more time. I mean, you could get out for a second. Kurt, yeah, thank you, Carter.
But whether people have followed us along at all these different locations.
Carter didn't send us no message. What's up with that, dude?
I love how we're just bringing this up when we could just add this in post.
yeah, but isn't this more fun? Look at this.
Yeah, but this is... Yeah,
this is my old kitchen. That's me. That's Christian. Do we look different?
But that's us. And yeah, we started the show there. And it's been now we have our own studio in Midtown Manhattan, and it's been in quite the ride. So yeah, like obviously, here's to another 10 years. But yes,
this has been a blast, man.
Without a doubt. I mean,
you deciding to say yes when I was like, "Yo, we should do a podcast," because I could have said that to a lot of people that would have been like, "Dude, you're in an Arby's." but when you said yes, I had no idea this would change my life as greatly as it did. It's made my life so much richer, so much better, so much more enriched. It's been amazing.
Same. I mean,
we've traveled the world.
Thank me for saying yes, I guess. Yeah.
Well, so you can thank me for asking you. I mean, you could have done that part. You're really bad at this tennis thing.
No, you just said you were going to ask anybody.
I said if I could have. But I'm glad
you asked somebody else.
I asked a couple people.
You asked a couple people.
One of them is in that video.
So it's
but that's also before we committed to getting season tickets and all that.
Yeah. So it's a to say it's changed our lives is I can speak for myself. To say it's changed my life is an understatement. Completely course corrected where I thought my life would end up.
100%.
But I wouldn't trade it for anything else. This has been a cool thing. Even as a stand-up comedian, there is something that I'm grateful about that our fan base, even though we occasionally get some comments about how I have zero ball knowledge and I don't know anything.
Yellow shirt.
I'm yellow shirt all day, bro. Yeah. But even though the majority, 95% of the community is completely supportive and loving and encouraging and like anything. Like we were just in Atlanta and like bumping into, I wasn't even just bumping into fan, like came out to go see us and support at the show. Yeah. Like that does mean a lot. And I always say like a lot of times Cooligans fans are people that I'm like, oh, I could like be cool. I'd be friends with you. Or we could get a drink or whatever. I'm not, but a lot of comedians do not say that about their fan base. They don't necessarily want to hang out with comedy nerds, ever. But I'm completely grateful. Thank you to everybody for helping us get to the 10 years. Everybody who's been a part of it. And shout out to Carter, producer Carter, for putting the video together and just, again, being a part of this journey as well. So shout out to Carter.
Carter, I expect a message. Wait, I don't know how
you're not going to say anything, Carter? You're just going to be like, I'm just here at work.
Hey man, I wasn't asked, so that's on Christian. That's on Christian.
That's crazy.
I mean, you're here, so
yeah. You could ask yourself. You're the producer of this damn show.
You could have just put yourself in the video.
Yeah. It could have just been you. we wouldn't have been able to stop it.
Yeah, we were like, this is how we celebrate a decade of the Cooligans by watching Carter for 4 minutes.
By the way, we saw him film this just before we started recording.
All right, everybody. Thank you again. No, let's wrap up.
And also thank you to Yahoo. our right. home, baby.
Exactly. All right. We appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, when I thank Carter, I'm thanking Yahoo as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He represents
the
organization.
He is the representative of the ambassador.
He is the narc in the room. I mean, the representative in the room.
Okay. You wearing wire, Carter?
Yeah. I check him every time he comes in. Said, we hug around here. I'm going to pat you down, bro.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
What you got under the shirt, Carter?
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today and for all 10 years that you've been a part of it. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram. Follow us on Blue Sky for sure.
YouTube.
Hit the like, hit subscribe, do all the things you got to do. All right. We'll be back on Thursday with a new episode. And we have a big guest, I believe, on Thursday. So just be on the lookout for that. All right. So we'll see you then. Everybody, have a good rest of the week. Peace.
Love you guys. Love you too.
Love you too.
Ah, he said it.
Yeah, Bono's a great singer.